Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, August the 25th, 2015. Currently have 6:01 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. I have a couple of housekeeping items, and then we're going to move on to some study items during the work session. I'd like to have our friends introduce themselves today. So we have a friend from Bowen Collins, and if you would just stand up and let the council know who you are.
My name is Jamie Sundays. I am a landscape architect with Bowen Collins.
Great. We also have a friend from Curtin McConkie. You would let the council members know who you are, even though I think some of them probably remember you.
I'm Elise Edition from Curtin McConkie.
Okay, thanks. Very good. One thing that I just want to mention is that those of you that are planning on going to the Utah League of Cities and Towns meetings in Salt Lake City, please have Gretchen register you in the next couple of days so that you avoid the late filing fee. And so this is a good time for the council members to learn more about their jobs, but also I think we're going to try and get together with spouses one night, have dinner for a little bonding experience. So please let Gretchen know ASAP if you're going to that event. Now, the items that I'd like to cover in work session are the public hearing items. And so even though most often residents do not show up for public hearings, we like it when they do, but it's also action items associated with those two public hearings. So I'm going to ask Mr. Bunker to first start talking to us about item number 5, which is the public hearing relating to animal rights in the R1 15,000 zone, and then we'll move into item 6, which also is a public hearing. Chandler, are you going to handle it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about both of these items as they're closely related and come from the same issue. Recently, the Planning Commission has been working on rezoning throughout the city. There's three parts to the rezoning. One of them is we typically have all the public facilities like this building, the schools, the wells, the trails, any park. They're located in the public facilities zone in the city. However, we have three parks that are not currently found within the public facilities zone. One is in Doral on Cedars East, one's in Cedar Run, which is a retention basin, and the last one is a park that is yet to be built. It's in the cottages. It's the very end of the cottages, very south end of town. What we're proposing is to move those three parks from their current residential zones into the public facilities zone. Basically, what that does is it removes any development rights that may be assumed to be held in the property and just puts it and leaves it as a park. I've had multiple residents call, and when we explain to them what's going on, they're usually very happy about the fact that they're staying parks. The other zone that's being changed is along Canyon Road and off probably a couple hundred yards either direction. It's currently in the RR1 20,000 zone, which is the rural residential 20,000 zone, 20,000 being 20,000 square feet or a half an acre. What we've found is that many of these homes are what we would call legal non-conforming lots of record, meaning they are boundary adjusted into the city, but they're annexed into the adjacent zone, which is typically the RR1 20,000. However, many of these homes are not 20,000 square feet. Most of them are about a third of an acre, 15,000 square feet. So what we're proposing to do is to take these homes, and there are some that are bigger than the 15,000 square foot requirement or the 20,000 square foot requirement, and we're proposing to move them into the R1 15,000 zone, which is an established zone in the city, however, is not currently found within the city. There's no land is zoned R1 15,000. And as part of that, these homeowners have large animal rights, meaning they can have, if they have the necessary agricultural land dedicated to large animals, they could have horses or goats or whatever they want. So we're making sure that we're not taking away a right when we are putting them into this new zone by giving them large animal rights as well, or letting them keep their large animal rights. So many of these residents have expressed a concern that when they go to sell their property, they'd like to be able to, they don't mind being in the new zone, they would just like to make sure that they can still sell their house as a horse property. This would allow them to do that. The Planning Commission has reviewed it, and they've made recommendation to the council for approval. Are there any questions on these two items? Kind of handled one and the same. We went over it in Planning Commission quite a bit, but I'd love to answer any questions you may have.
Tell me about, I believe in the law of unintended consequences. So what do you perceive, any downside to this, any unintended consequences associated with it?
That's a good question. When we were evaluating it, one of the questions that the Planning Commission had was something similar to that, is what happens then to the density? Because really, when you look at the two zones, the only change is if I owned a two-acre parcel of land that was currently horse land and I wanted to sell it or subdivide it, what's going to change is the density. So if I have 2 acres and I am currently in the R1 20,000 zone, I could then subdivide 4 times because, you know, 4 half-acre lots. In the R1 15,000 zone, I may be able to pick up an extra lot. So there's some added density, but it's really hard to capture that. And when I say it's really hard to capture that, I mean when you start looking at a subdivision layout and you start putting in a street or you start putting in the curb gutter asphalt, the necessary improvements, it's really hard to capture that extra lot in most of the cases. I'd say 95% of them. I'd say maybe 1 or 2 people with abnormally large lots could maybe pick up an extra lot, but most of the people will be unaffected.
So have you talked to very many of the residents that would be affected by this?
Many of them, actually.
And what's been their response?
Their response has actually been pretty positive when we explain the whole process to them. I've spoke with quite a number of them on the phone. We sent out postcards on multiple occasions to the residents and to the surrounding area, 300 feet radius around the affected area. Many people called me from other cities as well. And when we go through the changes, they don't really have any issues with it. Their main issue was, well, what happens to my animal right? And that was something that we had anticipated, and that's why we're taking care of both of them tonight. So once they knew, once they found out that the large animal right would be included in the zone change, they said, well, then okay. There really wasn't any other concerns. Councilmember Reese was there that night when we had probably 25 residents show up with questions. I think we addressed all of their concerns that night because they didn't come back the next month when we actually had a quorum to vote on it. So
no residents have been left with concerns. Is that what you're
saying?
Not
to my knowledge, no.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
Good. Council, fire away.
So I had a couple people call me about the people who got the notice about Doral Park. They were concerned that it was going to be something else.
Yeah.
And I explained that no, it was just keeping it in the park zone. So I don't have any questions because I sat through all the planning meetings.
You're well aware of what's going on.
Anyone else? Mr. Crawley?
No, I'm okay with it.
Mr. Geddes?
No.
Mr. Zappala?
I didn't sit in all the Planning Commission meetings. So I'd like to understand just the really big picture of why we're doing this zoning change.
Well, this came about when a resident came to us and said, I want to develop a 3rd-acre parcel next to my other neighbors, because he lived around the corner, he owned a lot, and he saw a lot that he wanted to buy, and said, here's a 3rd-acre, I want to build a lot on it that is a 3rd-acre next to 2 other 3rd-acre lots in an area of 3rd-acre lots. And when we looked at the code, we said, well, you can't do that. But as we looked at the code, we started looking at other areas that possibly may have needed to be rezoned, these public facilities. And so we started to, David and I sat down and we went over the zoning map and thought, okay, well, where are some areas that may need some attention? And these are the 3 parks that we came up with. One other zone change I forgot to mention was part of the R1 20,000 zone is found in Avanu Acres. Avanu Acres was similar to the Lakeshore Trails development that's going on Canyon Road, where it was developed as a PRD. And the rest of Avanu Acres is in the H1 zone. And so we're taking part of that R1 20,000 zone that's part of Avanu Acres, which is in the RR1 20,000 zone, which they can't have animals in that HOA anyway. And we're putting them with the other portion of their HOA, which is in the H1 zone. So we just saw a few areas on the zoning map that needed to be, I don't want to say cleaned up, but just needed to be redrawn a little bit. So
do we have a new map that we can see tonight, compare it to the old?
There was a map that was added into the packet yesterday.
Good, I was looking for it and I wasn't sure which
was
one
it was.
It was
the 13.
Oh, there it is. I didn't see it at first.
12. I don't know if I'm seeing a map in my packet, but It's not, oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, it's on 13. So mine's actually not showing the R120,000 zone. Is yours showing the R120,000 zone?
I see a blue, some blue areas that are highlighted.
It's 13B. There's a couple of attachments for 13.
Okay. It might have gotten... Oh, you know what? I think it's right here.
Yes.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. So you see the three parks, they're really on the outskirts of town. One's on the southwest, one's on the southeast, and Doral's in the Cedars East. And then that large section that's in the blue, that's currently in the R120,000 zone. We're proposing to have that portion be moved to the R115,000 zone. And then there's a little yellow box. That yellow box is part of Avenue Acres HOA. And you see that the rest of Avenue Acres is in the H1 zone, so we're putting it into the H1 zone with the rest of Avenue Acres.
So these different residents that have recently asked to be boundary adjusted into Cedar Hills, are they affected by this in any way?
Yes and no. So Gina Day and... forget the Wilson's first names, but they're found in the R120,000 zone, which is more in the center of town. So they would be boundary adjusted into in the R120,000 zone. We've had a couple other Pleasant Grove residents make application. They would actually be boundary adjusted into this new zone, the R115,000 zone. So yes and no.
And they're okay with that?
Yeah, they are.
Okay. So we still have the R20,000 zone. It's not going away.
Yeah, and the R115,000 zone is an established zone in the city. It's in the code books. It's established. It's just no property has been zoned using that zone. So that's why you don't see it on your zone map right now.
Okay.
But it is an established zone.
Anything else, Daniel?
No, I think that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Why don't you stay right there?
Okay.
Let's move on to the next public hearing, which is item number 6. Why don't you start us off on that?
Number 6. Well, I really spoke about the zone change already. That's what item number 6 is. Item number 5, and I said these kind of meshed together. It's hard to have one conversation without the other. Item number 5 is the animal rights. The animal rights for this area are... it's considered a large animal right. It's a conditional use in the zone. One large animal unit says shall be any of the following: 2 cows, horses, donkeys, llamas, or similar large animals, or 8 adult sheep. And it goes through and it gives you a calculation of how you're to calculate these large animals. So for each large animal unit, you would need to have 10,000 square feet of dedicated agricultural land. For one horse, you'd need 5,000 square feet. So these homes that are currently on the R120,000 zone and they have horses, they have dedicated agricultural land, by putting them into the R115,000 zone, everything else remains status quo. They still have the amount of land necessary to keep a horse. That's why there's really no one's getting a large animal right that doesn't already have it. So, and the homes that are a third acre that currently have animal rights associated with that zone still wouldn't have the necessary agricultural land dedicate to a horse, so they don't necessarily pick up the ability to put a couple llamas in their backyard. So that was the other public hearing, but they're like I said, they're kind of the same discussion. Are there any questions on the animal rights?
So as I drive along Cedar Hills and I see the llama on Cedar Hills Drive, is that a Pleasant Grove property or is that...
No, I don't actually know the answer to that question.
Okay.
I know which one you're talking about.
On Cedar Hills Drive?
Yeah, off on the left.
It's down, if you look down the hill a little bit. It is in the R120,000 zone and it is... It is zoned for llamas. It's a yes. Or alpaca, I don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't think there were any PG homes on Cedar Hills Drive.
There are not, no. There's the grass field, that's the PG.
But no homes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions from anyone? No? Daniel? Okay. Chandler, thank you very much. I am now going to persuade our friend from Bowen Collins, if she wouldn't mind coming and taking some time. So this will hopefully save some time during our council meeting. If you wanted to come and talk to the council and let us know what you're presenting on.
Okay, I have some handouts, so just give me a few minutes.
Great.
And I'll pass those out.
After 11?
So this first map I'm passing out is just an aerial view of what we're going to talk about. I wanted you to see.
Thank you.
I wanted you to see the residential lots that are near Bay Hill Park. And kind of see the whole area. So this first handout, or the second handout, is option A for Bay Hill Park. This is the original layout that was done by somebody else other than Bowen Collins. And I took this and I updated the cost estimate that was associated with it so it can become more in line with the costs that we have in today's market, and then also just make sure that they covered everything that was needed to construct that parking.
Do they go up or down when you're considering today's market?
They always go up, unfortunately.
Okay, I
no, I shouldn't say
I
they always do, but they have a tendency to. So in this original layout, there was a pretty good-sized parking lot and then a playground. And I am not sure what age group that playground was intended for, but I've put one in there that would be a 2 to 5 year old playground, which is around a $15,000 playground. And then as part of that, you have to have a softball area and curbing that would go around it to keep the softball in. And then a grass area that's down below, that would be the only other open space play area that would be included in this plan. Now I will pass out concept B, which I don't know the history of concept B other than I know that there were some members that were interested in seeing a larger green space area, two playgrounds, and a pavilion. Now concept A did not have a pavilion.
It does.
It's not in the cost estimate. It's shown on there, but it's not in the cost estimate. I was told that it wouldn't be. I'm not. It's shown on the plans, but I didn't put it in the cost.
So we could add 20,000.
Yeah, you got it.
That's correct.
So what I've done with concept B is I've highlighted the areas that would have been impacted or increased in cost. We would need an additional access road for the Metropolitan Water District in order for them to get down to their aqueduct access, and that is what that square stepping stone dash line is that comes down the existing parking lot. And then in order for them to get the right grade, they don't want to go more than 8% on average. They'll go up to, I think, about 12%, but they don't want to do that for longer than 100 feet. So we'd have to loop that around that grass area down there and then realign the trail that is along the border between the water district and the property. And you're losing parking in this one by putting in this pavilion with the playground. So just to give you a visual of what happens with this playground, with the location that it's at, the site really slopes relatively steep, for a park is relatively steep. So you have a site that's sloping like this, and then you have a playground that needs to be pretty flat, and it's got to be ADA compliant. So it's doing something like this. Maybe I need to do it the other way around, but it's doing something like this. So you have a retaining wall on both sides, and the only area that you can really access that playground is this pivot point that's right in the middle. It's a pinch point that you'd have to cross that access road to get to. So the majority of your costs on this one is your retaining walls.
And sorry, explain to me again what the retaining walls are, why those are needed.
You want your playground to be, okay, and your pavilions to be kind of flat. They're sloping at 2%, but the whole site is really sloping at a much more drastic slope. So, and those would probably be pretty vertical. I split the difference, so they'd be about 5-6 feet of a wall on either side. Okay, and then the third concept, we try to split the difference between the two and provide the amenities that option B has, but try to work with the slope a little bit more and try to eliminate as much retaining wall as possible. Now, this is going to be a little bit different than the other concepts. As I looked at the site, because there's an existing access road, an existing building, and you've got some power poles and guy wires, in order to keep your facilities together, and that's really ideal when you're trying to do a park, especially when you've got a little kid that is at the playground and needs to use the restroom specifically. I felt that the best way to keep everything together is to abandon that existing access road and move it to the south. And that would allow you to loop in at a more gradual slope, at a 7% slope, and then come in and flatten out. And you can still fit two playgrounds in there. That's a pretty large pavilion, and the restroom stays in place. So again, on this one, I've highlighted the areas that have increased from option A, where we include a pavilion and a pad here, a playground and a swing set. This is two. It's combined into one number, but they're two different facilities. And then additional landscape and irrigation and retaining walls.
So can I ask a question?
Yeah.
In all of the options, the C and B, how much, I mean, can we get tot soccer in these grass areas? Do you know? I mean, how big an area do those areas need? Maybe Greg's here, maybe he knows.
Who's Greg?
Oh. I'm just wondering, I mean, are we providing enough for a little bit of soccer, you know, little kids soccer up in this area or not?
Only at the park scheme.
So nothing here. We're gonna get nothing out of this.
You can, so this bottom area there is about 7%, that open area that's kind of a bubble.
Could we get that flatter?
We could get it flatter. You'd want it to be at a 2%.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd come down probably at a 3-to-1, and it would, you know,
If you come at 3-to-1 through the neck and then flatten it out.
I'd flatten it out, and then it would dive down pretty quickly to get down to the trail. So it could work. I don't know, dimension-wise, you would probably get a... You could probably get the little guys to play on there on one field.
They're just the 3- and 4-year-olds.
That's what I mean. Those little ones, that they're always looking for space for those guys.
Yeah. You could probably get the little guys to play on there. The green area that I have up above between the parking lot and the pavilion, I need that space just to make up for the grade change. Sorry, is it me?
No.
It's not you. It's us.
So if we compare that to plan B, the grass area there that's 135,000 square feet,
mm-hmm,
is that level? Is that at 2%?
It's not level. No, it's not level. It's hard to see the contours in there, but it wouldn't be level.
I didn't think it was. So it's not like that had an advantage in terms of giving us a tot soccer area.
No, it can level if I put in more retaining walls.
But that's
going to And that's just going to increase the cost, right. Yeah.
And then the original option with the very small grass area, was that level, or is that also in the same area we're talking about?
That would have to be graded out. I didn't take that and grade that to detail.
Okay.
But in looking at what the contours seem like underneath there, it could be level.
Okay.
But again, if it needs to be more level, it would need probably a smaller retaining wall, maybe a rock retaining wall down there.
Yeah.
I've got a question also. Did you talk to the Parks and Trails Committee by chance? Have you?
I haven't talked to
them. You haven't talked to them?
Well, are you part of it?
Yeah.
No. You guys are part? No. No.
So we're seeing it before they're seeing it, right?
Yeah. This okay.
I think if we would have thought of it, we probably would have liked it when I was on the committee. The changes here, it seems really good. So I would think that they would be happy to see these changes. Don't you think, Jenny?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple of key points here that, as we look at these, I really like how Jamie had an open mind about this access and about moving that access, which helps us maintain more of the area for, you know, the playground and the swing set, pavilion, etc. And it kind of opens it up and still gives us the amenities that we need to get down to that trail. One of the things that maybe Jamie didn't look at initially, we talked to Keith on the phone at Bowen and Collins, but the existing restroom building that's there is actually 2/3 pump house and 1/3 restroom. Those restrooms are small. So the very eastern 2/3 has a couple of really big boosters inside of the building, and that takes all of the culinary water from the lower zone to the upper tank. And so we have to maintain that. On the aerial, you can kind of see on the north side of that building, if you look really close, and if you have a magnifying glass, there is actually a little green rectangle just on the north side of that building, and that is an auxiliary generator. So if we lose power, we can still pump water through that generator all the way up to the tank and keep our fire protection active for the upper zone. And so we may have to tweak, just again, this is just a concept in this concept number C. So we may have to tweak just some access there to those doors on that north side of that, what's labeled the existing restroom. But I think we can get that done and still have access with, we would need to be able to drive a utility vehicle, a public works truck to those front doors.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is very good on this is keeping the ADA access from the street grade. That's one of the reasons it comes down that slope, that relocated driveway, and comes all the way back to the pavilion and the playground sets. That you know, that keeps that ADA access there, which I really like. So
yeah, I really, really like keeping the restrooms near the facilities and grouping those facilities together on that plan.
So there's going to need to be maybe a few more modifications, but in general, we wanted to get this in front of the city council, see if this is the direction you wanted to kind of move forward, and kind of show you the cost estimates between the three different versions, and make sure you're aware of that. Again, these are estimates, and until we get the, you know, a more solid design, we could probably tighten that up a little bit, but.
I have a quick question. All the areas around here where it's just white, is that just intended to stay native?
It would be enhanced native, so we would probably have to add a little bit of irrigation and some plantings there, but we would keep it minimal maintenance. And that's included in the landscape.
But it wouldn't just be all of the dead stuff that's there now.
It wouldn't be.
Okay, good.
Yeah, if we throw a little bit of water on there, it'll green up.
I can't remember. Do we have some impact fees or anything set aside to pay for this, or is this where the funds come from on this?
Yeah, we have a few park improvement impact fees that we can spend on this. We were pulling those numbers actually together today, and I was getting with Charles to see what our funding options would be, to see how we would come up with the funding package. We haven't solidified that, but yes, we would use those. We would also use some grant monies and some care tax funds. Mm-hmm. We would try to pull together all of those in order to fund this. But we would have to come back. We would come back with a plan in order to put the funding package together.
Sounds good.
So on the east side of the pavilion, I see two dark lines? Are those just contour lines that were drawn in extra dark, or is that supposed to indicate something else?
Yeah, the dark lines are every 5 feet.
Okay. And I think I see that the ADA access that David was referring to, that there's a sidewalk that comes down on the access road, runs along the parking lot and forks and also goes up to the
place. There is. So there's a sidewalk that, and this right now is at a 7%. We'd have to get that down to 4.9% to make it ADA. But right here at 7%, and then we start getting into ADA right here, and then ADA stalls would be right on this corner. So they could walk all the way around here and make it in there without a problem. And you want to have your playgrounds be ADA as well, so that sidewalk is pretty level.
Good.
So the access driveway, the first initial part, does not have to be ADA?
Coming into it?
Yeah.
No. Well, you know, that's up to the city. If they want it to be ADA, it can be. But
we don't. I mean, there's too much grade, really.
There's too much grade. If it's not doable... You know, but we can work on that and see if we can lessen that grade. It would have.
So are you saying the sidewalk would be ADA compatible?
After you hit the bottom.
Once you drive in, then you're ADA. Yeah, the parking lot itself and the sidewalk within the parking lot is ADA.
But if someone was trying to come on a wheelchair down the sidewalk, it'd be a little too steep for them, you think?
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be. But we can... Again, we can look at that and try to engineer it and see if we can lessen that. We may end up having to add some boulders along the access just to make it work. Or, see, right here, I'm coming down at a 3-to-1. I've eliminated all the walls along there. I can add a little wall here and raise this parking lot up just a couple feet, which would probably get that slope that we need here. And... They can probably drive on a 13% to back up to where they need to, but it would lessen that slope as well, and we could probably get that down.
Could you run the sidewalk from the street instead of running it along the access road, just snake it through the landscaping?
We could. The tough thing about this area right here is there's three pretty good-sized power poles and guide wires that go directly, to this corner, so we could find a way to maybe try to sneak it through there.
Or even another option might be where that existing access is to come off one side or the other on that and kind of have a snake down to the pavilion area. Once we get to that level, it might be good enough.
Something. Yeah, we could do that.
If you've seen the park in Indian Hills in Provo that they created, it's a giant crater almost, and they wound the sidewalks all the way down in there. It's pretty remarkable.
There's options, I think.
There are options, and it's the options with this site, unfortunately, is retaining wall and trying to flatten things out where you can.
So do you guys mind if I switch to another drawing off of... We're looking at C right now. I'd like to ask some questions about option A.
Okay.
Would it be possible to, on the upper green space, and there's parking stalls right below that, would it be possible to take out a couple of those parking stalls, add some more grass and a pavilion? That seems to be the one thing that's maybe lacking on this. On option A is a pavilion. There's playground equipment, there's grass, plenty of parking stalls. But what we may be missing there is a pavilion.
That would probably look a little bit like
C.
Option B. But we wouldn't extend it out as far. So you're saying you would have that bottom row of stalls still, but just eliminate the stalls that would be right here.
Yeah.
This isn't drawing very well for me, but...
Right, there's only five there.
So then we would eliminate...
I would eliminate them all. I don't know that
What's
we need...
That?
I would eliminate them all. I don't know that we need that many.
Even the ones below that?
Yeah.
And then if you do, then you're really looking at option, you're really ending up with
option B.
But if you do extend it, yes, it can work. You just, you'll have some retaining walls just to hold that up. Yeah. And you need to have ADA access over there. I am really not sure that ADA, I suppose they can get to the playground as it is right now.
I have to say, I think one of the things I like the most about C is that the bathroom is right next to the pavilion and playground. Yep. And both A and B, the kids have to cross that street, that entrance street, to get to the restroom,
yeah.
Which
it's a little,
me about
yeah.
kids running across the parking lot.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I can even think to even suggest option C looks great, but I know that 21 parking lots for a park that small seems like a lot. That's the only thing that when I was on the committee, that the consensus with the committee was that originally the amount of parking stalls was a little overkill for that small of a park, where it's a neighborhood park and most people will be walking to it. So just something to consider, whether making a little more grass space and a little less parking lot, whether that would make sense or not. That's
the only thing I would say on that is if we do use this for top soccer, then you might have people from around the city driving through if their kids are playing top soccer. Uh-huh. And if they're going to practice there, they have to park.
20,
yeah, and I thought about that too, Rob. But if you eliminate the eastern parking stalls, uh-huh. right? So you eliminate a little bit less than half the parking. That's on that 13% grade, and uh-huh. so it's not like it buys you much of anything. It's a
that's good
just
point.
A hill.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it. You know, when you've got a little soccer team, about 12. Well, I guess the little guys only have 6 players per team. So you're looking at 12 cars at one time, but that's if one parent shows up.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got both parents, you do end up having a few more.
I would be surprised if that parking lot ever was full with that many stalls, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, C has 21 stalls. The original one has 27, 26, 27, yeah.
Uh-huh. Looks really good.
I like it.
Me too.
I do also know that we can push that play area onto the Metropolitan Water District easement, because you can put turf and irrigation on it, but you can't put trees.
You can't put trees and you can't put any facilities.
Can't put any facilities.
Yeah, and they actually like that because they don't want to have to. It's less of a fire hazard for them to have to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm dealing with them as the developer right next door, and we're actually going to clean it all up. I mean, mm-hmm. we're going to make it look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done it on another park in Highland City, and we pushed onto their property, and it wasn't.
And I've met with Metropolitan Water, and you know, it depends on who you talk to, but for the most part, if you get the right person,
yeah,
that understands it, they're happy to let you do nice things with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Looks good. Thank you.
Like any other questions by anyone?
So as far as direction, are we going to talk about that here or in the next meeting?
What's that?
As far as direction, are we going to talk about that here or the next meeting?
Direction.
Like, what are we going to do next?
Yeah. I was just thinking about that in terms of...
Shouldn't we get the committee involved, though?
What's that?
Shouldn't we get the committee involved?
The committee
Parks and Trails are already involved.
They haven't seen this
yet. They haven't seen this.
Well, it sounds like the next step is to show that to them.
Then the Parks and Trails says which one they like, and you guys say which one you like, I think. Then that's some direction to the staff. Are you looking for something more than that?
No, I wasn't aware that they hadn't seen it yet, so I think that's the right next step.
Okay.
Let Parks and Trails see it and have staff identify funding sources.
Yes, and probably get the, I would say the Parks and Trails Committee probably will want the same input we want in terms of, is that feasible to do tot soccer down there, just dimension-wise, is it big enough? And so getting some measurements on that space that Mike was identifying to know whether that's feasible would be helpful, and then we'd know whether to pull a cost estimate to level that out.
So the Parks and Trails Committee just met last week. So it will be up again in 3 weeks, and I'm happy to take it to them, these concepts with Chandler.
I can email them out to him.
Sure. Are these PDF? Do we have copies?
No, it's Mike.
Would you just mail it out? Thanks, Chandler.
So, Mike, you're on Parks and Trails right now, right?
Correct.
So can you make sure that this gets discussed fully at the next Parks and Trails meeting? And who's our staff member that goes to that? Is that you, Chandler? Can you make sure it's on the next agenda as well?
And walk off that area.
Okay.
Measure it.
Any further discussions on this park while we're here?
I do want to just clarify one thing as I'm thinking about it. I said that access coming down is not ADA. It can be if it's a ramp coming down at 8.33%, and then you have a landing. So if you come down 30 feet, you have a landing, and then you come again. So it can be ADA the way that it's.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Good.
Okay. Very good. If there are no more questions right now, then we will take our break and we'll come back. If you can all be here at 5:02, then we will be ready to start right at 7. Thank you. Oh, make sure, Daniel, you weren't here when I mentioned this, but please have Gretchen register for the Utah League of Cities and Towns meetings if you haven't already, because there's